You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's so great to see you. So great to be here. Especially warm welcome to you again if you are a guest and tuning in online. My name is Josh. I'm part of the team here. I'm so excited to be bringing a word from the Bible. And we're in a series that John launched a couple of weeks ago called Kingdom Come, Unpacking Life in God's Kingdom. So I'm excited to share something with you today. I have a daughter. She is 5 years old, just turned five. And to celebrate her fifth birthday, we went away to Disneyland. Anyone else been to Disneyland? Paris. Okay, if you know, you know. We had the best time ever. We went for the kids and stayed for me. And I absolutely loved it. I want to move over there. There was so much about Disneyland that was incredible. There's a reason they call it the Magic Kingdom. It's like when you walk through the gates, everything changes. The music is enchanting. The characters are there. The real life characters. I met Snow White, the real life Snow White. It was unbelievable. The atmosphere, the rides, it's just remarkable. They even curate the scents that you smell that fill the park. It is brilliant. It is like you've stepped into a whole new world. But here's the thing. Disney has created the illusion of a kingdom. It costs a lot to get in. By the end of the day, your kids are crying, your feet are aching, and you realize that Mickey Mouse doesn't actually solve any of your real life problems. But we still had an amazing time. Now, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's not talking about a theme park experience. He's actually offering us real life under his rule and reign with him as our king. To remind ourselves of a passage we've spent some time in over the last couple of weeks, Mark chapter 1. It documents the opening moments of Jesus' mission and ministry. And it says this, after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Notice this, the good news of God, the gospel according to Jesus, was that the kingdom of God had arrived. For Jesus, and I think a lot of Christians miss this, Jesus' primary mission and message was to bring the kingdom of God into our broken world. In fact, Jesus spoke and taught more about the kingdom of God than he did about anything else. I'll give you some stats. A third of Jesus' words were directly about the kingdom of God. There are over 100 references by Jesus about the kingdom in the New Testament. And of all the parables Jesus taught, and there were many, they think between 60 and 70% were directly about the kingdom of God. All of that to say, the kingdom of God was central to everything that Jesus said and did. So what is the kingdom of God? How do we define the kingdom? Well, there are two, I think, words from the Bible which are really helpful in our understanding and definition of the kingdom. One is Old Testament Hebrew, and it's this word, Malkuth. Everyone say Malkuth. Malkuth, that's how you spell it. This word means an active rule and reign. Then there's the Greek word. You're learning Hebrew and Greek this morning. Isn't that exciting? This is the word basileia. Let's have that. Everyone say basileia. I think that's how you say it anyway. And this New Testament Greek word means a rule and reign of a sovereign power. So if we put these two understandings together, both words point to this definition, the active rule and reign of God. Let me put it another way. The kingdom of God is what life looks like when what God wants happens. When God fully has his way, when God is fully in charge, where everything looks like how God wants it, that is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a place we visit. It is a reality that we carry. It is the kingly reign of Jesus breaking into our world and our hearts and our lives. It is essentially heaven invading earth. And so the question that I want to try and ask and answer today is this: how do kingdom people live in that reality and extend it in our time and in our generation? And I've got 3 points. I'll tell you what they are so you can get ready for it. Number one, we pray the kingdom. Number two, we declare the kingdom. And number three, we demonstrate the kingdom. Or if you like rhymes, let's do it like this. We pray it, we say it, and we display it. Okay, you can have that for free. Thought you'd be more impressed, but it's fine. Okay, let's go into this. Number one, we pray the kingdom. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says this, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here, Jesus is teaching his disciples, he's teaching us how to pray, famously called the Lord's Prayer. And it begins, it opens with us recognizing and seeing rightly the one to whom we are praying. He is our Father. He is in heaven, meaning he is sovereign over all things. He is to be hallowed, to be worshipped, to be adored. He is holy, he is worthy, he is to be praised. This is the God that we are praying to. He's a good, perfect, kind Father who is above and beyond all things. And then, once we see him, Jesus guides our prayers towards the kingdom. Jesus says this, this is what you should pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, it's interesting to me that Jesus has said that his kingdom has already come. Remember that passage we read a few moments ago when he announced, the time has come, the kingdom of God is here, it's at hand. And yet here, as Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, he's teaching them to pray that more of God's kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. And this tells us, I think, a couple of things. Firstly, it tells us that although God's kingdom arrived in Jesus, the king, it is not yet here in its fullness. There are plenty of places and spaces and peoples and hearts and nations and the choices that we make and I make that are not yet submitted under the rule and reign of God. Just look at our world. I think you can just turn on the news or check social media and you can't help but feel that actually God's rule and his reign and his will is not being done on earth right now. Think of the wars. Think of the suffering, think of the abuse, sickness, the brokenness of creation, the fracturing of relationships. How many of us would say, we need God's kingdom to come? I think we all would say that. We need a king to come and rule and reign with perfect love and goodness and justice and healing and peace over our broken world. I don't know about you, but I often look at the state of the world and struggle to know where to start. How do I even go about making a difference? I'm online, looking, scrolling through the damage in the world, the anger of people, and I'm like, how do I do anything about this? Well, I believe Jesus would direct us our first steps to prayer. Jesus said, pray your kingdom come. Secondly, this tells us that our prayers actually make a difference in bringing God's kingdom to earth. Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because Jesus knows that when we pray that, it actually makes a difference. The prayers of the saints change things. They move God. Someone once said that prayer moves the hand that moves the world. Our prayers have the capacity to release freedom and bring healing and wholeness and break strongholds and revive hearts and restore bodies. It's crazy to me that part of God's strategy for releasing heaven on earth in our time and extending the kingdom of God is through the prayers of his people. Do we believe that, church? I wondered if we fully grasp that, how that would change the way we pray. Do we believe that every morning that we wake up early, every Monday night we gather here, every evening we travail in prayer, every time we say no to Netflix to spend a few more moments in the quiet with God, do we believe that in those moments, actually the darkness in our world is being pushed back a bit further? That our ordinary prayers may just shift something in the spirit, shift a battle that's been raging for hundreds of years beyond that which we can see. Our prayers carry the power and the capacity to make a huge difference. I'm just not sure we fully grasp that. But Jesus grasped it, and he taught us to say, your kingdom come. That's what we should pray. So we pray it. Second thing Jesus wants us to do is to say it, to declare it, to announce it. This was a central part of the ministry of Jesus. He came to declare and announce the gospel of the kingdom. Luke chapter 4 says this, Jesus said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Jesus then, as he's raising a group of disciples, trained them and taught them to do the same. Matthew 10, as you go, proclaim this message. What's the message? The kingdom of heaven has come near. Then it says this in Matthew chapter 24, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Notice this, that the good news that we share is the gospel of the kingdom. For many Christians, as we share the gospel, it's kind of like a golden ticket to heaven when you die, like a golden ticket to the chocolate factory, almost. Pray this prayer and then you'll go to heaven when you die. It is so much more than that, and it was so much more than that for Jesus. For Jesus, it was an invitation to life with him under his perfect rule and reign in the here and now. And then that just flowed on into eternity when God's kingdom would come in its fullness. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who is on the throne of your life? I don't know about you, but for many years, if I'm honest, I lived under the rule and reign of the world. I lived according to the values of the world, the ways of the world, the culture of the age. And let me say, it always overpromises and it always underdelivers. And the main primary message that I lived under for a number of years was this, that I can be the king of my own life. And this world is all about me. It's about my rights and it's about my feelings and it's about my way. How many of us in this room have tried to live as our own king or queen? I have. We build our own kingdoms for ourselves, by ourselves. And let me say from experience, guys, it just does not work. And then in the world out there, there are millions of things which would try to occupy the throne of your hearts as well. You could think of things like money and relationships and work and the pursuit of status, sex, ambition, pleasure, good things that actually when we make them our God, our focal point, our king, will end up destroying us. But the good news of the gospel of the kingdom is an antidote to the broken and fractured and messy world that we live in. It is good news that a king has come. And his name is Jesus. And he is perfect. And he is always good, and he is always faithful, and he is always just, and he is always kind. He is the only one worthy of the throne in our hearts. And the rule and reign of King Jesus does not bring with it any chaos. It doesn't bring with it any confusion. It brings complete joy and peace and life to the full. Jesus said, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to bring life and life to the full. This is King Jesus. Even death bows its knee to King Jesus. All evil flees in the presence of King Jesus. When the kingdom of Jesus comes, bodies are healed, minds are set free, love becomes the way that we live. And all of that to say, guys, that it's our job as the church to share this good news. We live in a world where people are desperately searching for hope, for an anchor, for meaning, for purpose. They've tried living with me on the throne, but it is a kingdom built on sand. And maybe you're here today and you find yourself in that place. We have people coming to every single service that have tried everything, tried placing all these sorts of things on the throne of their heart, and none of them satisfy. None of them are good rulers. A couple of weeks ago, in the guest lounge after the service, and just got chatting to a couple. No one had invited them. They were just drawn here because they recognized the world is a mess. I said, what's brought you here? And they said, the craziness of the world. None of it's working. Essentially, they were saying, I need a king. I need a king. And we have to be there to tell people that there is a king, and his name is Jesus. And his rule and his reign is close. It's at hand. It's available. You can come in. Would you come in? Because it is so good. Maybe you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus. His kingdom is here and you are invited. And we can enter his kingdom not because of anything good that we've done, not because of our own goodness or our own righteousness, but because of his goodness and his righteousness and his death on the cross, which made a way for us to enter into relationship with the God that made us. And the kingdom of God is completely free. It's not like Disneyland. It is completely free, but it will also cost us everything. Think of the times Jesus invited people to follow him. It was never an easy invite. He let people know, hey, this is a narrow road. You've got to, as John's shared brilliantly over the last couple of weeks, you've got to repent. There's a shift in thinking. You've got to turn from your old life to your new life because it's impossible to inhabit the new way of the kingdom whilst also clinging on to the old way of life. You can't have both. Jesus would say things like, whatever is occupying the throne of your life, be ruthless. Get rid of it. He said to the young rich ruler, if your possessions are enslaving you, sell everything. He would say to the people that are consumed with their situational circumstances, let the dead bury the dead if that's distracting you. Leave your father, work, financial situation, whatever it might be that's holding you back. Let go of that and come and follow me. This is the call of the kingdom. It's not an easy one, but it is worth absolutely everything. And I believe, church, we've got to get back to that bold proclamation that the kingdom is at hand. You can enter into it, but you've got to let go of some things holding you back. So we pray it, we say it, and finally we display it. When we read the stories of Jesus, it's so clear to see that he always accompanied a declaration of the gospel of the kingdom with a demonstration of kingdom power. When we look through the stories of the early church, we see that the first Christians, signs, wonders, and miracles were just a normal part of the everyday experience. There's barely a page that goes by in the book of Acts, which tells the story of the early church, where there wasn't something remarkable happening, an outbreaking of God's kingdom among us. And it tells us that for Christians, I believe a normal part of everyday life should be sharing about the good news of Jesus and demonstrating the power of the kingdom. Jesus did it in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Then he taught his disciples to do it as well. When Jesus had called the 12 together in Luke chapter 9, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons, to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. I believe in the church in the West, we've lost a both-and approach on the whole. And God is calling us back. And if you're new to our church, we've spent a whole year exploring what it looks like to be a people who move and operate in signs, wonders, and miracles. And as we've been pursuing that, God has done remarkable things among us. But this is a normal thing for every single one of us. We pray that heaven would come. We say that heaven is available, and we display heaven's reality by praying for people and ushering in the power of the kingdom. How do we do that? Well, guys, it is in ordinary moments, normal life, where we are just simply awake and aware of the assignment and the authority on our lives. We're sensing and sensitive to the nudges of the Holy Spirit, and then we respond with courageous faith. And as we do that, the kingdom of God comes. A few weeks ago, I was with an acquaintance. I have a professional relationship with him. We're not friends. And I was helping him do a bit of work on his house. He's got a young child the same age as my little boy, Jesse. I don't know him very well. But we were chatting, and he looked tired. And I said to him, how are you sleeping? And he said, not good. I get maybe 2 to 3 hours a night. He said, I have restless leg syndrome. And he said, basically, I'm just in agony. When I can't lie still. My leg is going, and I'm just in agony. It stops me from sleeping. And in that moment, I'm nervous because I don't know him well. I don't want to make things awkward. But I am so aware that I carry something which could make a significant difference and bring healing into his life. And so I'm nervous. I'm not sure how to say things. I don't want to make it awkward. But I just say to him in that moment, look, I'm a Christian. And in our church, we pray for people to be healed. Can I pray for you? And he said, no. And I said, it will only be 7 seconds. He said, no, this is really awkward. Quote. And this is weird. And I said, oh, okay, no problem at all. And then I got in my car very quickly and drove off. And I had to process, you know, feel a bit of rejection. And when you step out, you think, in my head, I was going to be like, this is a miracle story I'm going to share at church this Sunday. This is going to be absolutely outstanding. And yet, it just didn't happen. And what I felt like God speaks to me about, which I hope will encourage you, is that our responsibility is not what happens the other side of when we step out. Our responsibility is simple and joyful obedience, even when we feel terrified and scared, that we feel a nudge of the Holy Spirit and we just respond with a moment of faith, a step of faith. What happens the other side of that step of faith is beyond our control. We can't save anyone. We can't heal anyone. We can't bring freedom or whatever. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a work of the Spirit. Our job is to be people who are just sensitive to what God is doing. And I'm praying that one day, in a really difficult moment, the person I prayed for will remember maybe that moment as a seed sown, and it will bear fruit. So that is what I'm praying for. And so The point is this, the outcome of the steps of faith is beyond our control. It's a work of the Spirit, but we're called to step out in faith. So how does this look? Well, let me give you some examples. It looks like offering to pray with a neighbor over coffee. It looks like inviting a friend to Alpha. It looks like feeding the hungry and canceling debt and providing clothes and supporting people that are in need. This is all part of the kingdom. It looks like giving generously to someone that you know is really struggling, even though no one will ever see that act. It is praying for a friend with a long-term health condition. It is sharing a prophetic word with a stranger on a train. It is praying for someone that is tormented by evil to become free. I remember a couple of years ago, there was a lady in our home group that got saved out of a lifestyle of witchcraft. And she was still, in many respects, tormented by some stuff that was clinging on from her past. And so she came round to our house one day, and my wife and I built a fire in the garden, and she brought all of her scrolls and all of her stuff that she'd signed to be part of whatever she was part of, and we burnt it all. And we had a stunning time of just breaking off all the things that had held her back in that world. This is what we're called to do, Christians. This is what we're called to do. We're called to bring life. We're called to bring hope. We're called to break the chains that are shackling people and lead people into freedom. This looks like planting ministries, home groups, churches, businesses, outposts of hope and grace that bring life to our city and beyond. Essentially, we're called to be a people who do the stuff, allowing the life of Jesus to flow through us to our world. So we pray it. How do we pray it? Well, let me just say it starts, can start tomorrow night. House of prayer here at church, 7:30. Join us as we pray for God's kingdom to come. We say it, we declare it. How do we do that? A great example, as I've shared, is bring someone to Alpha. Invite someone along where they can hear the good news of Jesus. Starts in a few weeks. And finally, be attentive to the Holy Spirit. Those ordinary moments, and let's step out in faith. Let's build a culture where we're not worried about what might happen. We're just going to be obedient to the next thing that Jesus would say. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.